On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Library Legislative Day is set for next week, and this is a time when librarians from across the state meet lawmakers to discuss issues facing the roughly 380 Wisconsin public libraries. They have a fact sheet for lawmakers. One thing that jumps out, 1 million uses of public internet computers in 2020. Librarians, what do you need lawmakers to understand about your needs on the ground? What legislative policies are impacting you? How is the library doing in your community? How do you use it? 800-642-1234. Nyama Reed is president of the Wisconsin Library Association. She directs the Whitefish Bay Public Library, has been a librarian for more than 20 years. Nyama, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So what is the number one thing you want lawmakers to know and to take away when you talk with them next week?
I believe the biggest thing for librarians coming in and library lovers who go to Library Legislative Day is to show that libraries are there. They are open. We are serving our communities in a very different time. Some libraries had doors closed, but they were still there serving things, doing the Wi-Fi, doing internet searches, book bundles, all sorts of things. We're there and working harder than ever to serve our communities so that they can stay educated and entertained, whichever they're choosing.
The word pivot comes to mind specifically for libraries. You know, when you look at the numbers compared to pre-COVID times versus numbers you're seeing coming out in COVID times, what is jumping out at you?
As far as number of uses?
Number of uses or just, you know, anything that is quite different based on where you were at pre-COVID.
I would say, if you look at raw numbers, say, in comparison to 2019, they may be down. They've come back up since 2020. But if anything, they're more high-quality uses because we're working so hard to provide them. And for the people coming in, they can truly be a lifesaver, whether that's helping them apply for a job or having mental health breaks to get that latest Grisham book or to be able to get out of their house with their child to get something to come and pick up a take and make craft. People really, truly appreciate it because the libraries have been a spot during COVID. They could still go. They could talk to someone on the phone, and it really has not just gotten them through their day, but their last 2 years.
Sounds like libraries are taking on many more responsibilities beyond the books. We also saw Racine Public Library hired its first full-time social worker in September. What do you want people to know about libraries as a social safety net?
Libraries across the state have filled many resources. Some have had outdoor food pickup for those who might be facing food insecurity. They're helping people with applying for jobs. I looked online too and found such as Oshkosh had a vaccine clinic. Oshkosh also worked with the day-by-day warming shelter to assist homeless veterans during that time. Smaller libraries might be helping with finding people energy assistance online, all sorts of different things. And even before COVID, libraries have helped with, if someone comes in and we notice a regular patron might be starting to have some issues, if we can spot it and we approach them and ask, do you need some help? Can I call someone for you? So it's that personal one-to-one relationship you have with people, aside from just the referrals, that helps us notice when our residents and our community might need some help and we reach out to fill that gap that they might be experiencing. And that has simply ramped up during COVID librarianship.
But some pushback here. Do you think that libraries may be overstepping their mission of information sharing and providing information? Are they trying to do too much?
Well, the case could be made for that. The other side of that coin is, do we need to do too much because that gap is there and maybe it's not elsewhere? Oftentimes when these things happen, we are still sharing information. I'm not sitting here and being someone's therapist, but I might be a kind ear, and then I can offer them the referral, find the information, because we're better at finding information more quickly, or we're tapped into those resources that we can help people find it. I'm not going to go and actually turn on their electricity for them, but I can help connect them with someone who might help them pay their bill during a time of need, or we know about what government assistance programs are out there to help them get through. So I think it's expanding and forever pivoting to help the people that come in, but not necessarily doing more than what we should, because we're here about helping. And so how we help changes from the 1950s to the 70s to now.
Do you think this kind of help, this type of assistance for your patrons, is here to stay?
It's here to stay as long as it's needed. And then again, as the needs change, what we offer will change. But libraries will always be here with books, with music, whether years ago it was on vinyl and then it was on CDs, and now we have it downloadable. Help and how we help people can change too, whether they're coming in person on the phone or maybe via text message if they're looking for a referral. So I believe the help will always be there, just as libraries will always be there. Our format may change and the topics may change.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the president of the Wisconsin Library Association, Nyama Reed. We're talking about their annual Library Legislative Day coming up and the issues facing libraries. With your insights and questions, 800-642-1234. Nyama, one barrier libraries are facing is Wi-Fi access. What challenges are libraries going through with Wi-Fi?
Well, Wi-Fi, and then also actually wired, you know, if you think of the lines in the ground, and you think about, you know, the state of Wisconsin, you know, you're in Madison, I'm here in Metro Milwaukee, and some people may not be able to afford the internet in their homes, but they can come into the library and they can use a public computer, or some of the libraries actually check out Wi-Fi hotspots for the week and they can take it home. So overnight, they can still work on whatever they're working on. Whereas if you get up more into the north in the areas that are more spread out, it's hard for them even to have the hard fiber into the library, into the homes, for people to have the Wi-Fi there. And it might be a half an hour, an hour to their nearest library. So during COVID, if you have your child doing online schooling, but you have no internet connection or not a good internet connection, that can really impact things. So there's a large priority for libraries in the state of Wisconsin is expanding that broadband into the northern area so that everyone can have equal and equitable access to broadband, to Wi-Fi if they need it, to be able to go in and apply. You know, almost every job application now is online. So if you don't have access to the internet, how do you apply? So we are working on trying to, at an actual policy level, move that along so that we can get everyone equally and equitably connected.
Early in the pandemic, in those early days, people were sitting in library parking lots. Libraries were trying to extend their Wi-Fi so that they covered the parking lot. Are those things still going on?
They are, and thankfully, due to some of the government ARPA funds, various libraries across the state, including us here in Whitefish Bay, were able to get stronger Wi-Fi antennas that wouldn't normally be in our operating budget for this budget cycle. And so for us, it extended the reach from, say, the curb line right in front of the library to the far end of the parking lot, so people could come and sit in their cars, albeit with their own device, and use our Wi-Fi when the building was completely closed. Now those things are still out there. If someone's not comfortable coming in and using the library in person, even with masks on, they could come and use our Wi-Fi from the parking lot or after hours. A lot of libraries started leaving their Wi-Fi on 24/7. So for people who were working during the day or couldn't make it until maybe 10 o'clock at night, they could come and their kids could still do their homework from the parking lot.
Let's talk about funding. State lawmakers reduced library system funds by 10% in 2011. It has not fully been restored over the decade. How do libraries continue to support services without increases in funding? What do you see with the funding situation?
Well, I will say, thankfully, last year's biennial budget, the legislature did vote to give additional monies for this year and next year, restoring that money that was cut 10 years ago. The compounding of it might not be there, but that was a huge boon and blessing for libraries across the state. The other aspect is local tax dollars might be flat due to some laws that were put in place a decade ago. So we do end up having to either fundraise in different ways or increase charges perhaps on copies to try to bring in a little extra money. Otherwise, it's about being creative. If I need to cut some money because the housekeeping bill went up, then I start looking into other areas where we can trim a little without impacting staffing or collections to the public. It's definitely still at a very tight moment. So the increase that the legislature approved last year comes at a very good time in order to at least keep us whole to where we are right now and moving forward.
But it's
definitely constrained still for a lot of libraries across the state.
And you still see libraries putting on their own fundraisers or perhaps having to look at their fines that they have instituted for people who don't bring their library books back?
That could be. I will say there is a large movement nationally, not just within Wisconsin, to go fine free. La Crosse went fine free a few years ago. And that's where there are no fines. If you don't bring the book back, we still charge you for the book. But if you bring the book back, there's no overdue fine, even if you had it an extra 5 days or 5 months at some of the libraries. That is a revenue generator for some of the other libraries who can't afford to. Some of the libraries in the state are operating on a budget of $50,000 or less, some of the smaller libraries. So to give up maybe $5,000 in fines would be 10% of the budget. If there isn't another revenue stream there to replace that, that becomes cuts. So every library looks at it and goes, can we afford to do something like that? I don't know that anyone is increasing fines, but maybe they're finding new and creative ways to have book sales or starting a foundation, such as our library just created, and our Friends of the Library book sale, continue to have book sales online on eBay to make up for not having them in person as much. So everybody has been getting creative in how they're doing it during COVID.
Wisconsin Library Association President Nyama Reed with us, our guide to the priorities that librarians are bringing to the state capitol next week as part of Library Legislative Day. What social services does your library offer? Do you have a favorite library program? Are you concerned about book challenges or funding issues facing your local library? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kedar Chirkent. We're finding out what are the leading issues facing Wisconsin's approximately 380 public libraries as they provide programs and resources in these pandemic times. Another notable number, 6.9 million. 6.9 million ebooks, e-audiobooks, and videos downloaded in 2020. The association says that's the sixth highest number of library-sponsored checkouts in the world. Still time to talk about library priorities, what's going on in your community library. 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Library Association President Nyama Reed stays with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's talk about book bans. The American Library Association said in a preliminary report, it's received 330 reports of book challenges, each of which include multiple books that happened last fall. And they called it unprecedented. That was reported out yesterday in the New York Times. Why are these book challenges happening at a pace not seen in decades?
Well, I would say just as a lot of different issues, mask enforcement or vaccines, a lot of things are very heated right now within our country due to issues above and beyond just libraries. And so libraries become another aspect where people can come in and voice their opinions. And right now, if people are stressed out or very heated about what is going on, and maybe they feel they don't have as much input in the larger world, they're coming in and trying to have input at the local school board level, at the local village or city level, and also at the local library level is the way I like to look at it. And so they're coming in an organized fashion at some libraries with different titles to come in and challenge them as a way to be seen and heard and try to affect the changes that they believe are necessary.
Once upon a time, it was, you know, Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye or Catcher mm-hmm. in the Rye, J.D. Salinger. What mm-hmm. books do you see are being targeted today?
Well, I will say per the news, The Bluest Eye was just banned in December or January from a library, a school library in Missouri. So that's not even a once upon a time one. That one's still there. Right now, the latest one that's in the news is the graphic novel Mouse, which tells about the Holocaust in a graphic way using mice and rats. And that one was recently banned at a school district in Tennessee. And that one has gotten a lot of news over the last week, especially with Holocaust Remembrance Day just being last week. In libraries, it can typically be things on topics of LGBTQ or diversity and race. It really can span the gamut for what is coming in, depending on the titles. A lot of them are geared towards children's titles or teen titles, not so much as people coming in and trying to ban the adult titles.
I wonder if you see an undercurrent of these book challenges politicized, that is, like being driven by legislation or by politicians seeking to align their message with their voters on one side or the other. And maybe in the end, you have the librarian or the reader or the teacher caught in the middle. Can you relate mm-hmm. to that?
I could certainly relate to being caught in the middle. And I will say, having been a librarian for over 20 years, I've dealt with book challenges through the whole thing. And we follow our policy, we look them up. You can be more inundated at this time, different libraries have been. And it can be difficult when you're having these discussions where you're trying to serve everyone. And some people take offense at what it is you're doing in order to serve other people who want those topics. And it does put us in the middle. We're happy to help everyone. It's difficult when people come in and vociferously yell at us or come into a meeting and make it untenable to hold the meeting if there's lots of fighting, as we've all seen in the news for school board meetings in the last year. And that puts us in the middle of trying to serve everyone and having it become more personal, or we're just not geared towards that for libraries. We're here to help people, and taking the heat can be difficult for some of us and impact morale.
We have the director of the Whitefish Bay Public Library, president of the Wisconsin Library Association, talking with Nyama Reed on the State Capitol Report, looking at the issues facing Wisconsin libraries and patrons. With your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Philip now in Appleton. Hi, Philip. What would you like to ask about ebook restrictions?
Yes. Yeah, I had a question about arbitrary ebook restrictions. I read online that libraries are limited to only one license that they purchase, and there's a limited amount of checkouts on the license before they have to rebuy that license. Is that true, and has that affected the Wisconsin Public Library system?
That is true, and it really depends on which platform you're using. That particular model tends to be used a lot on OverDrive or Libby, which is the 6.9 million e-audiobooks. A large part of that is Libby across the state. We have a statewide collection for everyone, and it's really set by the publishers and the providers, and they kept changing. At least it's been consistent. But depending on the publisher, depending on the title, it really varies what that particular lease looks like. We don't own those books when we purchase them. For the e-collections, we are leasing them. So they will say, your latest copy of Grisham, you can check out 50 times. And then you have to check it out, or you have to purchase it, lease it again. And I believe the thought on that is, if I had a physical book, after 50 times, it might fall apart and I'd buy it again and they'd get more money. So they're looking at that lease as, how do we keep on having a revenue stream from them having to repurchase it?
Philip, does that make sense?
Yeah, still seems arbitrary, but.
Are you,
thank you.
Philip, do you check out ebooks a lot?
I would if it wasn't such a long line for them. I mean, I guess I'm doing what the publishers want, which I'm end up buying books, because ebooks end up having, you know, 30 people ahead of me in a hold line, and, you know, I want to read that book. So.
Good point, Philip. Thank you. Nyama, any suggestions there when you get on this really long line? You're in the queue, but you're 30 deep.
It can be. And I will say, you know, part of that too is, so it's one copy per hold. The cost of the ebooks when we purchase them are significantly more if you go on Amazon and buy it for yourself. Again, because the publishers are looking at it and saying, oh, you're going to have however many hundreds of people trying to read this book. So, you know, we can't afford to buy them unlimited. When I'm helping someone at the desk and they want the latest novel and it has a hold list, I'll say, put it on hold. But hey, did you get the one they put out last year? You haven't read that one? Let's get that one now. There's no hold list because now it's a year overdue, and you'll enjoy that book while you're waiting for the newest, hottest one. So we try to work that way. Some libraries have other platforms such as Hoopla, or where it's on demand. And that's a different model that actually is even more expensive for the libraries, where we pay per use. It's $2 to $4 every time someone checks out that book, but then there's no wait list. So you could see, particularly with Appleton being one of the larger libraries, I don't know if they offer Hoopla, but you could check and see. It is offered here for all of Milwaukee County. And then you get so many credits per month that you could use for that. So all of us are trying to do and offer different things in order to meet people's needs. But I would say to Philip and Appleton, if you're looking for that hot book, put it on hold and see what's there from last year or 2 years ago, or a classic that you haven't read yet that you could read now while you wait.
Philip, thank you for that question. We only have a few seconds left. Nyama, is there a program that you'd like to see every Wisconsin library offer its patrons?
Oh, gosh. Off the top of my head, and this was a grassroots effort by a librarian in another state, it's called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, and research has shown that children who have 1,000 books read to them before kindergarten, and it can be the same 5 books 200 times each, as we all know our toddlers, those children go into school that much more ready and have significantly scientifically proven more literacy skills and vocabulary and are ready to start school. So a lot of libraries here in the state of Wisconsin do 1,000 books before kindergarten. You can stop in and see if they haven't, maybe suggest it to your local library, because there's a ton of resources just to start it on your own and really make that effort to read to your toddlers and young children, even your babies, as they get ready for school, because it's that interaction and that reading to them that sets them up.
Nyama, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Nyama Reed, president of the Wisconsin Library Association, on the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. If